A man walked into a bar and ordered 3 pints of beer. Got them, sat down at a table, drank the first, then the second, and then the third. Got up and left. Following week, he came in and did the same thing. This went on for a few weeks until the barman said to him, "Excuse me, sir," he said, "you come in here and order 3 pints at the same time and sit down and drink them. So it just seems slightly unusual." "Oh," he said, "it's quite straightforward." He said, "I have 2 brothers. One's now in Manchester and the other's in Newcastle, but we would always go out for a drink on a Friday night. So I come in here and we get there to remember them." "Oh, I see. Fine." This went on weeks for weeks and even a few months. And then suddenly the man came in one evening and said, "2 pints of beer, please." And the man served him. He said, "I'm very sorry," he said, to hear about the death of one of your brothers." He said, "Death of one of my brothers? No, no, no," he said. "My brothers are fine. I've given up beer for Lent." You see, that's a bit like what Lent can sometimes be for us. We have some good ideas, but the reality doesn't always work out. We can start off thinking, "I don't know what I'm going to do." I mean, I had one of my better ideas for Lent only about 4 or 5 years ago. I decided I was giving up wine for Lent, which was quite a sacrifice for me. But I managed it, and Easter Sunday I felt totally justified at having done such a good thing over the whole of Lent. But of course I'd succeeded. I'd given up wine for Lent. However, my substitute was a cocktail before my evening meal, or 2 cocktails before my evening meal. So I ended up drinking more units of alcohol during Lent than I had done outside of Lent. And it's kind of easy, particularly if you live on your own, to fool yourself. It's harder when you live with other people because they remind you, don't they? I mean, we had a great trustee of our diocese who used to ask, not quite insist, but to ask that every time we had sandwiches and a meal after a trustees meeting, that we would have pork pies, because he loved a pork pie. His wife wouldn't allow them in the house, so he used to have his pork pies when he went out. If you have a significant other half who loves you, they sometimes will tell you what you need to do. Like, "No, darling, that 4th glass of wine will not be good for you. You will regret it in the morning," and things like that. Or you're putting a little bit of weight on and they just think you need to not eat quite so much. And suddenly the things that come back from the supermarket are slightly different. And some of the things you liked are no longer there. And you puzzle as to why. But darling, you need just to lose a few pounds. You're moving in the wrong direction. It's because people love them that they want them to do things. And what we need to do is to see Lent as that sort of opportunity, because God loves us. And every year, he gives us an opportunity just to stop and reflect in our relationship and say, where are we? What are we doing? Where do we need to change? Because unless you are sinless and perfect, and if you think you are, I can sure there'll be someone in your household who will tell you you're deluding yourself. But if you are, like the rest of us, less than perfect and sometimes sinless, then Lent is a time just to ask yourself, how do I change? Why do I change? You see, because God wants us to change, because he loves us. So he gives us these opportunities to look at ourselves and say, well, what could I do? What should I do? And sometimes it's hard to find things, So let me give you a couple of very simple little things for Lent, in case you're just struggling a little bit even at this early stage as to what should I really do. If I could ask you just a personal question to start off with, do you ever scrub your teeth? And hopefully the answer is yes, and hopefully it's twice a day in the morning and evening. Well, if you have your toothbrush and your toothpaste in a little cabinet maybe in the bathroom, get a post-it note and put on there, "Say a prayer." And when you're scrubbing your teeth, just say a prayer. If sometimes you're in a bit of a rush, it might just be a glory be to the Father, but if you want to give him a proper clean, you know, it's going to be at least an Our Father. Do you remember during COVID when we were saying, happy birthday to you, sing that, you know, as you wash your hands? Well, just gives you a bit of time to do that. That's the end of it. It may look stupid, but there's only you and someone else who loves you at the worst who's going to go and see what's in your bathroom cabinet or on the bathroom cabinet. So, you know, don't be embarrassed by doing it. Now, you won't hear this often in a homily, so just bear with me. Here's another little tip. Do you ever spend time in the bathroom, if I can put it politely to you, sitting down, pondering the world? Yes? Why not have a nice little Bible there, or a book of prayers or something, and read something when you're sitting there, instead of looking at your social media or working about this or worrying about that? How about an opportunity to say a few prayers? You know, you may find you spend longer there, or you may find you spend less time, but anyway, what you can find is you spend time in prayer with God. And suddenly you get to the end of Lent and you can look back and say, you know, I spent way praying to God that I'd never even thought of. But just 2 or 3, 4, 5 minutes in a day can be filled in time of prayer. Even if you've got a hectic schedule, and if you live a life like most people, time is precious and there are so many things to do, you know, and you don't get enough time to do what you want to do. So by fitting God in, we're not sidelining him, we're doing the exact opposite. We're realizing we've got a few moments to ourselves, and we want to share that with God. Because God wants to share not just a few minutes with us, but eternity. And so we're preparing ourselves for that. And the great thing about Lent is, when you mess it up, and most of us do at some stage, you know, you've given something up, and then suddenly someone presents you with a piece of cake that you weren't going to eat for Lent, and you're halfway through it before someone reminds you, or, you know, or I've given up chocolate, and I'm, oh, this Bixie's got chocolate on it. Well, enjoy it when you're eating it, because that's the first thing. Don't bother spitting it out, you know, it's too late. Don't waste food. But just start again, you know. It hasn't ruined your Lent, you know. Oh, well, I've broken my Lenten promise, therefore I won't do it for the next 37 days, because I did it for the first three, but I'll give the next foot. If you have to start time and time again, it doesn't matter. God loves a trier. So this Lent, just think of those opportunities that God is giving you to spend a bit of extra time with him. And he, in turn, will bless you. Because he is a loving father. And what parent doesn't want to spend a bit of quality time with their children? Time they enjoy and treasure. And you can put a smile on the face of God this Lent by just giving him some extra time. And what a way to come to Easter, knowing that when you come into a church that by that stage will have been cleaned up and look beautiful, that in God's eyes you also are looking beautiful because of what you've done this Lent.